Hollywood's greatest stars in Hollywood's greatest motion picture. From the glamorous movie capital of the world, we bring you Stars in the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a couple of questions for you. Do you like to laugh? Like a touch of romance? Like a bit of sentiment now and then? Well, great. Come on in. You'll find them all in this sparkling new series of half-hour shows transcribed straight from the heart of Hollywood. That's right, the heart of Hollywood. Because all Hollywood is contributing its time and talent to make this the brightest spot on your dial. Typical is our very first play. A tender prelude to the Christmas season, the famous inspirational hit, It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed, with Joseph Granby and Junius Matthews.
Christmas Eve, just a few years ago. It's Christmas Eve, and in the little town of Bedford Falls, people are celebrating the joyous season.
Please, God, help joy.
But through the gaiety, another sound is heard. A very sober sound. A sound of people praying. Prayers born of desperation and love, rising toward heaven in agonized hope. Rising higher and higher above the earth. Above the falling snow, above the clouds, and finally, as they reach the stars.
Larry?
Yes, sir. You want me, sir?
Yes. Seems to be some trouble in Bedford Falls. A lot of people asking us to help George Bailey.
Splendid, sir. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45, Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only half an hour to dress?
Clarence, you will spend this next half hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Yes, sir. And, sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, well, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now. People are beginning to talk.
Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings. Now then, let's have a look at Bedford Falls. Can you see it, Clarence?
Well, now that you mention it... Oh, this is amazing.
See the drugstore down there? That's George Bailey jerking sodas. He's your problem, Clarence.
A boy?
Oh, that's when he was 12. Back in 1919. And that little girl at the soda fountain, that's Mary Hatch. She's 9 years old, and she's in love with George.
In love, sir?
That's what she's telling him. She's saying, I love you, George Bailey. I'll always love you. I love you till the day I die.
My goodness. At her age? Things have certainly changed since my day. What does George say to that?
Nothing. He doesn't even know she's in love.
But, sir, she just told him.
Yes, but she made sure she was talking to George's bad ear.
Bad ear, sir? How did that happen?
Oh, he caught a cold when he went through the ice.
He fell through the ice?
No. He jumped through to save his kid brother, Harry.
But, sir, all that was when he was a boy. How did he grow up?
Now, Clarence, I'm glad you asked me that. George grew up fine, saving his money, working afternoons, pinching and scraping, with just one idea. Someday, he was going to travel. Someday, he was going to college.
But what about the girl, sir? Did she stay in love? Did they get married?
One thing at a time. Let's have a look. See her down there?
Is that Mary Hatch? Well, she's all grown up.
Yes, and so is George. And they just met at a dance. And now they're walking home.
Buffalo girls, won't you come out tonight? dance by the light of the moon.
Hot dog. Hot dog, just like an organ. Hmm?
Beautiful.
Well, I haven't enjoyed singing like that Hey, how old are you?
18.
18? Gee, just think, only last year you were 17.
Too young or too old?
Oh, no, you're just right. Your age fits you. Anybody asked me, I'd say... Hey, look at the old Granville house. Let's throw a rock.
Oh, no. I love that old place.
Oh, no, you see, you make a wish and then try and break some glass. You got to be a pretty good shot nowadays, too. There's been lots of wishes made on that old house. Now look, right up there on the second floor, you see? Look. Hot dog.
What'd you wish, George?
Oh, it's not just one wish. It's a whole hatful, Mary. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm coming back and going to college to see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. I'm going to build... Hey, you're going to rock. You going to throw it too, Mary?
Hot dog.
Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
Oh, well, why not? Come on.
Oh, but if I told you, it might not come true.
Oh, what is it you want, Mary? What do you want? Well, you want the moon? You want the moon? Just say the word. I'll throw a lasso around it and bring it right down to you. And then, you know, you could swallow it. And it would all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair. And am I talking too much?
If yes, me, yes.
Old man Collins on his porch.
Oh.
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her today?
How's that?
I said, why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her today?
Oh, you want me to kiss her, huh?
Yes.
Okay, mister. I'll show you some kisses that'll put hair back on your head. I'll show you some kisses that'll make you
wake. Hey, George.
Uncle Billy, what?
Oh, I'm glad I found you, George. You better come right home.
Well, what's the matter? Anything wrong?
The doctor's there now. Your father's had a stroke.
Naturally, Clarence, you can understand... That was a pretty bad blow for George.
Oh, I'm sure it was, sir.
But did he get away?
Well, he had to give up his trip to Europe. There were so many things to be taken care of.
But he did go to college.
Well, he went right ahead with that plan, all right. In fact, he's leaving now, on his way to the station.
Well, goodbye,
see him down there?
Yes, sir. I can see him, sir, but he doesn't look like he's going anywhere. He seems to be in a meeting or something.
Yes, the building and loan. He stopped off on his way. That's the board of directors, you see. They're deciding what to do with the company. Listen, that's old man Potter talking.
In my opinion, there's only one thing to do. Dissolve this institution and liquidate its assets. This town doesn't need a building and loan. We got a bank that can handle that sort of thing.
Your bank, Mr. Potter.
Well, suppose it is mine. What's that got to do with it?
Well, it's quite a lot, I think. I remember Pop used to say...
If you'll excuse me, young man, and meaning no disrespect to the dead, your father was not a businessman.
Well,
Peter Bailey was a man of high ideals, so-called, but I say that ideals without common sense can ruin this town. And furthermore,
Now, just hold on. Just a minute, Mr. Potter. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny ante building and loan, I'll never know. But when you talk about ruining this town, that's another thing.
Well,
maybe he didn't save enough money to send Harry to college, let alone me, but he did help a few people build their own homes and get them out of your slums, Mr. Potter. Now, what's wrong with that? Those people, the ones my father was trying to help, they do most of the working and the paying and the living and the dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Well, anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. And in my book, Mr. Potter, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
Well, I quite agree with
you. Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen. You're the board here. You do what you want to. There's just one thing more, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter.
Mr. Chairman, I call for a vote on my motion.
Come on, Uncle Billy. Let's get out of here.
Boy, oh boy, that was telling him, George. You sure shut his big mouth.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'll write you all about it, George. You'll have to hurry to make that train.
Yeah. Gee, I sure wish I knew how they were voting in there.
Come on, boy. Come on, step on it, will you? You gave up your trip to Europe. Now, you don't want to miss college, too, do you?
I should say not. No, sir. Nobody's going to keep me from going.
Wait, George.
Mr. Campbell, what is it?
They voted Potter down.
Whoopee!
There's only one condition, George.
Condition what?
They say they'll keep it going if.
If what?
If you'll stay and take your father's place.
Well, Clarence, I suppose you can guess what George's decision was.
Yes, sir, I can guess. He didn't go.
Not only that, he took the money he'd saved and sent his brother Harry to college.
But, sir, what happened to George?
Oh, George stayed home and ran the building and loan and dreamed about the day when he could go on that round-the-world trip. And sometimes on summer evenings, he'd take a walk.
I can see him, sir. He's walking now.
Yes. It happens he's found himself in front of Mary's house. She just got back from college this week.
But back and forth, back and forth. Why is he doing that, sir?
That's what Mary's wondering. Listen.
George, what are you doing? Picketing?
Huh? Oh. Oh, hello, Mary. No, I just happened to be passing by.
So I noticed. Have you made up your mind?
How's that?
Have you made up your mind?
Made up my mind? What about?
About coming in. Your mother phoned and said you were on the way over.
What? My mother told you that? Why, I just went for a walk. I just happened to be passing by, and I...
George, are you coming in or aren't you?
Well, I'll come in for a minute, but don't get the idea that I mean, she had no right to call you, you know, my...
Mary! I'm down here, Mother.
How do you like that? A fella just starts out for a walk, all of a sudden...
George, as long as you're here, you may as well talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Would you like to sit down?
Well, just for a minute.
Thanks for small favors. Would you rather leave?
Oh, no. I wouldn't want to be rude.
Mary, who's that down there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
What do I want? Me? No, nothing. I just came in to get warm.
Mother, he's making violent love to me.
What?
Well, you tell him to go right back home, and don't you dare leave the house. Sam Wainwright's calling you from New York tonight.
Now, look here. Your mother needn't think that I... Just because Sam's father's a big shot, you know, I didn't come here to...
What did you come for?
I don't know. You tell me. You're supposed to be the one that has all the answers. You tell me.
All right, maybe I will. You came here so I could tell you about Sam Wainwright, what he's going to do for you.
For me?
He says you gave him the idea of making plastics out of soybeans, and his father started a company, and they're going into it big, and he wants you to work for him and buy some stock and get in on the ground floor. And...
Now, you listen to me. Now, you listen to me. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any ground floors. I don't want to work for Sam. Do you understand that? I don't want to work for Sam. I want to do what I want to do. And you're not... You're... Oh, Mary. Mary.
George.
Mary.
Mary, what's going on down here?
Mary!
Mary.
Yes, George.
Don't you think maybe we ought to pick your mother up?
Yes, George found out at last that Mary loved him. Of course, you know what happened, Clarence. After he kissed her.
I'll wager he didn't go on that trip, sir.
No. He and Mary settled down and raised a family.
Children, sir? Oh, good for them.
Yes, very good. Two boys and a girl.
Three children? Why, these days, that's par. I suppose that George was happy, sir.
Oh, he was working too hard to think about it. You see, the billion loan was developing a new subdivision, a place called Bailey Park, where low-income families could buy their own homes. Putting quite a dent in Mr. Potter, too, until the war. Yes, yes. The Baileys made quite a name for themselves in the war.
George?
Harry, Navy flyer, shot down 15 enemy planes. Two of them as they were about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
Yes, but George...
George? 4F. Bad ear, you know. But he certainly heard good news this morning.
This morning, sir.
Harry just won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
This morning? Why, it's been years since the war ended.
Well, you know Congress. A little slow sometimes.
Must have been quite a day for the Baileys, though.
Yes, if only Uncle Billy hadn't lost the deposit.
Deposit, sir?
A whole month's collection for the building and loan. $8,000. Poor Uncle Billy was very excited at the news about Harry. And when he got to the bank, the money was gone.
Oh, dear, dear. What did George say?
Well, let's see now. It's this afternoon, December 24th, 2:20 p.m. Look sharp, and you'll see them down there.
That's not too much.
The office of the building and loan.
I'm not asking any miracle. Just remember, that's all. Did you put the envelope in your pocket?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't want any maybe. Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money.
I'm no good to you, George. I've never been any good to
you. Now, listen to me. Now, listen. Do you have any secret hiding place at home? Someplace you might have put it. Someplace you can put money.
I've gone over the whole house, even the rooms that have been locked since I lost your Aunt Laura.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, think. Think.
I can't think anymore. I can't think. I can't.
Now, where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Where's that money? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. It means somebody's got to go to jail. Well, let me tell you one thing. It's not going to be me.
And that, Clarence, brings us almost up to date.
But where did George go, sir?
Oh, he just drove around town. He scarcely knew where he was going himself until... Oh, Clarence, what time is it down there now?
Earth time, sir. Exactly 10:44.
Oh. Then he's standing on the bridge, looking down at the river. You'd better hurry, Clarence. You've only 1 minute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on my way.
Oh, God. God, dear Father in heaven. I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and can hear me, you'll understand. I'm at the end of my rope. There's nothing else I can do, so you'll just have to forgive me.
Help!
Hey, what's
I'm
that?
Drowning!
What's going on, Al?
Well, hold it, mister, hold it! Hold it, I'm coming!
Yeah, just hang your clothes right over the stove there. They'll dry out in a while. You know, I had...
What's the matter? What are you staring at?
Well, is that underwear of yours? I've never seen underwear quite like that before.
Well, I didn't have time to get anything stylish. My wife gave me this on my last birthday.
I passed away in it.
Oh, I say. How did you happen to fall in the river?
Oh, I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save you.
To save me?
Yeah, of course. You know, suicide is forbidden where I come from.
And where is that?
Heaven.
Now, let's cut this out, Hal. Will you cut this out?
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. And you see, you did. And that's how I saved you, George.
George? You know my name.
Yes, indeed. I know all about you. From the time you were a little boy.
Say, now, what is it? Who are you, anyway?
Clarence Oddbody. AS2.
AS2? What's that AS2?
Angel Second Class.
Funny, I know I didn't have anything to drink.
But don't you see, George, I'm your guardian angel.
My what?
Your guardian angel.
Oh, well, you look just about like the kind of a guardian angel I get. Kind of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
Oh, I haven't won my wings yet. You'll help me, won't you, George?
Oh, sure, sir. I'll help you the same way I've helped everybody else, my wife and my kids and my friends. I mean, look, why don't you go off and haunt somebody else, huh?
No, no, really, George. You shouldn't talk like that.
Why not? For all the good I've done, I wish I'd never been born.
What did you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say that. You... Wait a minute. That's an idea. What do you think, sir?
I told you what I thought.
Yes, sir. Very well, sir. All right, George. You got your wish. You've never been born.
How's that?
You've never been born. You don't exist. You haven't got a care in the world.
Hey, you know, that's mighty funny.
Oh, I'm not trying to be amusing.
No, I didn't mean it that way. You know, you've been talking into my bad ear. I've been hearing you perfectly.
Well, of course.
Hey, you know what? If my clothes were dry, I think I'd go outside
but,
and have
it. They are dry, George.
Hey, so they are. Look, I want to check on some things. Let's take a walk and we'll go up and... Oh, excuse me. I'll walk, you fly.
I can't fly. I haven't got my wings.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
But don't you worry, George. I'll be around.
I know this road. I'm sure I know it, and yet...
There's a signpost, George.
Yeah. 1 mile to Pottersville. But that's wrong. That's all wrong. This is Bedford Falls.
It was Bedford Falls. But you weren't here, remember? Old man Potter gobbled it up.
But right here, this turn on the road, this is Bailey Park. I worked like a dog to put over that. Why, it's over 60 low-priced houses, and they're gone. They're not here.
They never were here. You didn't live. You didn't build them. So you see, all there is out here is those old shacks over there in this cemetery.
Cemetery?
You can read some of the headstones for yourself. Now, here's an interesting one.
What's it say? In memory of our beloved son, Harry Bailey... 1911 to 1919. But that's a lie. Harry went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
No. No, every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save him because you weren't here to save Harry when he fell through the ice. You see, George, you see how important your life was?
But I... Clarence?
Yes, George?
What about Mary?
Well, please, George, I'd rather not...
You heard what I said. What about Mary?
She's an old maid, George. She never married. She has charge of the library now, and when the youngsters talk too loud, well, she gets mean and nasty.
Mary? Well, she couldn't be like that.
I'm afraid she is. If you'd like to see her...
No, not like that. I want her to be just like she was. I want to see her that way. Clarence, listen, I want to see her that way. I don't... Please, you've got to help me here. I don't care what happens, but I want to live. You hear me, Clarence? I want to live. I want to live.
I want to see Mary. I want to live. I want to... Hey. It's funny. How do you get back on the bridge here? What's this? All those houses over there. That's Bailey Park. That's not that... That's Bailey Park. There on that neon sign. Right over at the entrance to the bridge there. The Welcome to Bedford Falls. That's what it says. It says Bedford Falls. Welcome to... Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Merry Christmas, Bailey Park. Merry Christmas, world. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas! Hey, Mary, where are you? Merry Christmas!
Thank you, darling. In here, George.
Oh, Mary, darling, I couldn't wait to see you. Hey, what's all the crowd here for?
Merry Christmas!
Hey, what is this? What's going on here?
Oh, George, it's a miracle.
A miracle?
She did it, George. Mary did it. She told a few people you were in trouble, and they scattered all over town collecting money. Nobody asked any questions. They just said... If George is in trouble, count on me.
You betcha. We go over the top by $400. How's that, eh?
Oh, it's wonderful, Bob. It's great. I don't even know what to say.
Don't say it. You leave that to us. All right. Now, everybody, all together.
Good old acquaintance to be forgot as ever brought to mind. Good old
listen, George. The bells.
Merry Christmas, darling. Merry Christmas for every bell.
When I was a child, Mother used to say that every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Attaboy, Clarence. Attaboy.
So the curtain falls on It's a Wonderful Life. And now here are James Stewart and Donna Reed back on stage to take a final and very well-deserved bow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Jimmy, we're the ones who should be thankful to you and Donna taking the time out of this busy pre-Christmas season to come here and give us such a wonderful show.
Well, we hope you like it, of course. And look about that taking the time. There isn't an actor in Hollywood who wouldn't do the same thing. You know why? Because this is our show. This radio series helps support the Motion Picture Relief Fund, and I'd like anyone to show me a better cause than that. Believe me, we're going to make this the most exciting half hour of the radio week. Now, just for example, next Thursday night...
Jimmy, excuse me, but haven't you forgotten something more important?
More important? Now, what could be more important than that? Isn't it a little early?
They always told me it's never too early.
Oh, by golly, you're right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Good night.
Next week, to add some laughs to the Christmas season, Stars in the Air will bring you Warner Brothers' riotous comedy, John Loves Mary, starring Ronald Reagan and Virginia Mayo. It's a Wonderful Life was based on the story by Philip Van Doren Stern and was presented to the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is My Favorite Spy, starring Bob Hope and Eddie Lamar. James Stewart will soon be seen in Cecil B. DeMille's production for Paramount, The Greatest Show on Earth. Donna Reed appeared through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures. She can soon be seen in their production, The Dark Page. Stars in the Air was transcribed in Hollywood. Stay tuned now for Hollywood Soundstage, another new dramatic series having its premiere performance tonight on CBS Radio. Tonight, it's Betty Davis and Gary Merrill in The Dark Mirror. Listen to CBS Radio's first Hollywood Soundstage production next on most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.